Royal Bank of Scotland. BBC News.
And the news was read by Luke Tudnam. And as tributes continue for Cilla Black, you can hear her talking about her legendary early days in Liverpool and her amazing career, along with her favourite music, in Cilla Black's Desert Island Discs Revisited, available now on the Radio 4 website. Now, before the ultimate panel game, here's James Naughtie.
Our book club guest in August is the American writer A.M. Holmes, talking about her poignant and very funny novel, May We Be Forgiven. Harold, academic and Nixon obsessive, is our companion through a whirlwind of a book. His dull life is ruptured by his super successful brother George, who, having caused a terrible road accident, then commits an even more heinous crime at home. Here, A.M. Holmes, talking about May We Be Forgiven in Book Club this Thursday afternoon at 3:30.
And that's here on BBC Radio 4.
We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week on a second visit to St Albans, the undisputed gateway to Hatfield. St Albans is famous for its Roman heritage. Earlier this year, a cache of Roman coins, estimated to be worth £100,000, was uncovered by a builder, although a week later his estimate was closer to £150,000. During the Victorian age, St Albans was a major centre of taxidermy. The City Museum contains an interesting display of stuffed animals, including the last known example of what was a rare and extremely valuable breed of dog, the Hartford Wire-haired Terrier, which were traded for small fortunes. If they weren't extinct, experts say they can't imagine what one might fetch today. A stick, presumably. Many famous names have attended the independent St Albans School. These include Tim Rice, who famously collaborated with Andrew Lloyd Webber. They originally met when Tim Rice auditioned for a part in a musical, but when it was discovered Rice couldn't sing, Lloyd Webber wanted to marry him. The county town of Hartford has long been a centre of military supplies. The first gunpowder mill was built there by John Hammond in 1876. Hammond believed the secret to living a long and productive life was to sprinkle a spoonful of gunpowder on his breakfast every morning. He did this religiously and lived to be 93. When he died, Hammond left 4 children, 11 grandchildren, 27 great-grandchildren, and a 15-foot hole in the crematorium roof. Let's meet the teams. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Omid Jalili. And taking her place at the desk next to me, please welcome our scorer, the ever fragrant Samantha. Well, we begin this week with a look at the Uxbridge English Dictionary. Good dictionary is essential for learning the correct use of similar terms. For example, many don't understand the subtle difference in meaning between, say, trick and hoax. Well, to trick means to perform a cunning act or scheme intended to deceive or outwit someone, whereas hoax are those big trees with acorns on them. The meanings of words are constantly changing, teams, so your suggestions, please, of any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Omid, you can start.
Disappear, an Italian introducing a member of the House of Lords.
Barry?
Egalitarian, one who only eats birds of prey.
Tim?
Manoeuvring, what my wife would like to see around the house once in a bloody while.
Graham?
rebuttal, a bottom transplant.
Biased, having four buttocks.
Frog March, third month in the French calendar. Q, an unencumbered cucumber.
Aardvark, the toughest vark in all of Devon.
Polypropylene. That parrot's terribly thin. Haiku. Pigeon on helium. Blatter. Someone who very nearly gets away with it. Tanker. What he used to moor a boat in Yorkshire. Infantile, where they keep the children's products in the supermarket.
Encounter, where they sell chicken in the supermarket.
Goblet, very small mouth.
Erectile, where they keep the Viagra in the supermarket.
Well, the teams are going to sing along with some well-known discs now in the game called Pick Up Song. These days, rare vinyl records command a fortune at auction. The holy grail for collectors is the single Bob Marley recorded whilst on holiday in Cromer. We're crabbing. Samantha will spin the discs. Each of you should sing along to your record teams until Samantha turns the volume down. If, on the music's return, you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points, and points mean lifting successful catchphrases. What do points mean?
Prizes!
This week's prize is the perfect royal dog for the fully qualified plumber. It's this Corgi-registered Corgi. So, Barry, you're a start, and I'd like you to accompany Lou Reed singing Walk on the Wild Side.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across the USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way.
Shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came out from on the island. In the back room, she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head, even when she was giving head. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go do 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 do
do. Very good. Okay, your next, Graham. I'd like you to accompany the Trash Men singing Surfing Bird.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird.
The bird is a word. Don't you know about the bird? Well, everybody knows that bird is a word. Well, bird.
You now, Ahmed, would you accompany Bruno Mars singing Mark Ronson's Uptown Funk?
This hit that I ice cold. Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls. Straight masterpiece, styling, wilding, living it up in the city. Got chucks on with that Saint Laurent. Gonna kiss myself, I'm so pretty. Too hot, hot damn. Call the police and a fireman, I'm too hot, hot damn. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot, hot damn. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot, hot damn. Am I bad about the money? Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah, woo. Girls hit you, hallelujah, woo. Girls hit you, hallelujah, girls hit you.
In fairness, it was quite an easy one. Finally, would you, Tim, please accompany Taylor Swift singing We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
I remember when we broke up the first time, saying this is it, I've had enough. 'Cause like we hadn't seen each other in a month. When you said you needed space, what? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm going to change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day. I say, I hate you, we break up, you call me, I love you. Oh, ho, 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 ho. We called it off again last night, but oh, ho, 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 ho. This time I'm telling you, we are never, ever, ever getting back together. We are never, ever.
Thank you, Tim Brooke Taylor Swift. Well, the teams are going to treat us to some acting now in the miming round called Sound Charades. And this is a variation of the old TV favourite, Give Us a Clue, the show that made Lionel Blair what he is today. Available. So we'll start with you, Barry and Graham, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Star Trek. Star Trek.
It's TV and a film, and it's two words.
Two words.
It goes like this.
I'm just driving down to the shops.
OK. You know, you'll never get that wreck to start.
Won't I just?
I've no idea, have you? Is that it? Is that all you're going to do?
Oh, yes. No more.
You'll never get the starter.
That's practically the theme tune.
No, not at all. Can you think of anything with starter or something like that in the title?
Starter.
Starter for
you
one is a film.
You keep wandering round it, Tim.
Star Trek.
So, OK, your turn, Tim and Ahmed, and your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
The Claire Balding Show. The Claire Balding Show.
It's TV and it's four words, and it goes like this.
OK, listen up, television producers. I've got a BBC Two schedule to fill, and I'm looking for the best of your ideas to help fill it. Any thoughts?
I've got one. It's a heartwarming documentary about the late Irish psychiatrist Anthony Clare and his lifelong struggle with hair loss.
Four words.
Yeah. Is one of them Claire? And is another one Balding?
I bet you can't get the next
two. Get in there, Graham.
The Claire Balding Show.
Well, OK, well, the final title is now being displayed for you, Barry and Graham, and once more as the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Thor. Thor.
It's a film.
One word.
Yeah.
One word.
Goes like this. Hamish.
Dougal, you'll have had your tea.
Never mind the tea, man. Jings, it's cold. It's very, very cold.
So's mine.
Aye. Look, look, I've got icicles dangling off my sporran.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought you'd bought a wind chime.
No. I've had the plumber out 3 times to mend my burst bagpipes.
Oh, terrible weather last week ruined the Highland Games.
Yeah, it did. Big Tam's hands froze to the cable.
Oh, I know. He ended up tossing himself off over the refreshment tent.
I didn't see that.
Will it never end?
Yes, it will. The forecast says it'll all melt overnight. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Frozen?
Oh. It's the sequel.
Melting.
What do you call it when the ice and snow melts?
I call it warmer.
Oh, is it Thor?
Our next round is entitled The Daily Mail History of Fear. And the world of journalism throws up some tough jobs. For several years, Dr. Graham Garden was a cookery editor for The Lancet, and many readers still swear by his mouth-watering recipe for flem brulee. In this round, teams, I'll take you through a chronology of historical events for which I'd like you to provide a typical Daily Mail-style headline, OK? Here's the first. Early humans begin to walk on two legs.
Disability scam exposed.
Okay, so here's another one. The Greeks invent democracy.
Greek threat to power of newspaper proprietors.
The Romans develop aqueducts.
Mass immigration planned. Sorry, mass irrigation planned.
Copernicus proclaims the sun to be the centre of the solar system.
Middleton family snubbed.
The first glass windows are installed in English houses.
Now peeping Toms can see into our bedrooms.
Galileo designs the telescope.
Now Italian peeping Toms can see into our bedrooms.
Queen Victoria marries Prince Albert.
Euro migrants living off the state.
Britain abolishes slavery.
Political correctness gone mad.
Marie Curie, Pierre Curie and Henri Becquerel are awarded the Nobel Prize for Physics.
Two men win Nobel Physics Prize.
Right, how about this one? Women get the vote.
Political correctness gone mad.
Sliced bread is invented.
The worst thing since unsliced bread.
Another one. The D-Day invasion marks the end of World War II in Europe.
Lay off Hitler, says the Mail.
And finally, Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap opens in the West End.
It won't last a week, Quentin Letts.
Okay, time for the next round, teams, in which I'll be asking the question, where's the gents? Yes, Barry.
Down the stairs, second on the right.
Thank you, Barry. Okay, it's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. Yeah! But first I noticed that our post bag has been insufficiently bulged by a single letter. It comes from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. And Mrs. Trellis writes, "Dear sir, no further to our correspondence. Yours sincerely, Mrs. Trellis." So, on with the game. And this week, following a ruling by the MCA, single and triple Huffingtons only will be deemed to be lateral within the dictates of Karski's protocol. Is that clear with everyone? Good.
Yeah.
Tim, can you start, please?
Finchley Road.
Finchley Road. Oh, Huffington's.
Yeah, careful there.
King's Road.
Ooh, King's Road?
Yeah.
I'm going to go overland, Mortlake Overland Station.
You haven't played this very often.
It's the pre-1989 revision, he can get away with that. OK, that takes me, I think, to Ealing Broadway.
Oh, that's good.
See? Nice one.
Can I do Green Park, because it's double Huffington's? I don't know. It's Huffington, yeah.
Go for it.
Go on.
See if we challenge.
I'm going to change. I'm going to Finchley. No, I'm not. I'm going to... Oxford Circus.
Oh. Can you do that?
Oxford Circus.
Can you do that?
I think so.
Not. It's either a single or a double, and I'm not quite sure which.
Yeah.
We're a bit stuck, really.
Yeah. Jack?
So what was... What was your... We were debating whether that was a single or a double Huffington.
Were you? I might have to put that to Hawkeye in that case. Let's see how it goes. Was that yours, Tim? Was it?
Yes, mm-hmm. I was doing Oxford Circus.
Yes. Yeah, let's see what Hawkeye has to say. Sorry, that's been disallowed.
Oh dear.
So, wow.
Finchley Road, again.
Finchley Road, let's see. Sorry, Tim.
I thought that would be a double Huffington, but no, obviously not.
No,
okay,
not.
Well, I'll go for... Queensway.
Queensway is acceptable, yes, Queensway.
Mornington Crescent!
Well, the next round involves expert advice. Now, it's come to my notice that quite a lot of what purports to be expert advice these days is, in fact, nothing of the sort. Last week, when I was struggling through Jamie Oliver's recipe for a cheeky niçoise for one, he instructed me to pit the olives and then toss in the salad. I did, and fell off the worktop. The round is called How to Beat the System, and in it, I'll be posing various questions to the team on that very subject before reading out the genuine answers from a book of the same name. So we'll start with you, Tim. How can I increase the chances of passing my driving test if I'm a terrible driver?
Move to France.
Well, in fact, the real answer is take your test in a different country, yes? So you're about right.
Pretty good.
In the Greek islands at Symi near Rhodes, all that is required of the candidate is to drive 500 metres along a straight road, turn the car around and drive back. Yeah. I failed, but, you know. Barry, I'm a nervous flyer. What can I do to ensure I'm not spooked on the aeroplane?
Have several stiff drinks before taking the controls.
In fact, the answer is you could try sitting at the front of the plane where the ride will be smoother and quieter. However, the rear of the plane is safer. It's where aircraft manufacturers put the flight recorder, as it's the least likely part of the plane to be destroyed in an accident. These really are hilarious, aren't they? Graham, how can I get myself tested for a sexually transmitted disease without anyone knowing?
Say you're being tested for a friend.
It's actually the answer is if you go to a genitourinary clinic for testing, you can use a false name. I wasn't telling you that as something I know. I was reading that off the card.
Yeah, right.
And Omid, how can I get people I don't know to pay money directly into my bank account without giving them anything in return?
Apply for Nigerian citizenship.
Says detach all the pre-printed slips from your bank paying in book and then visit various branches of your own bank and add some of your own paying in slips to the pile of blank paying in slips provided by the bank. Soon people you don't know will be depositing money into your bank account. It says, brackets, this is illegal. OK, here's one for any of you to have a go at. What should I do if a waiter spills a bowl of soup on my favourite pair of trousers?
Shout, waiter, there's a soup in my fly.
If you can prove the waiter was negligent for failing to take responsible care when serving you, you're entitled to claim full compensation from the restaurant for the cleaning bill or even a new pair of trousers. And finally, how can I ensure my child stands out in the interview for a place at our local private school?
Black him up.
It says here, make sure they've read and can talk about a book fewer others of their age will have read. And make sure he wears his prefect badge. They are readily available on eBay. It's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a quick round of the Fruiterer's Songbook. Now, Samantha was recalling her first day on the fruit stall. She says she squeezed her first plums, lost a cherry and polished off several kiwis. Just a few little punnets, ladies and gentlemen. So, teams, I'd like you please to suggest titles of songs likely to prove popular with an audience of fruit enthusiasts. So maybe, Omid, you could start us on this.
Kumquat Eileen.
Barry.
Timey Cantaloupe Downspot.
Tim.
Papaya's got a brand new back.
Graham.
Girls Just Want to Have Plums, sung by... sung by Miley Citrus.
Can you peel it?
Put your sweet pips a little closer to the phone.
Cherry, cross the Mersey.
Bohemian Raspberry.
I am what I am.
There once was an ugly fruit.
It's a Bramley affair.
Banana na da 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 da.
Sexual peeling.
You say tomato and I say it's okay, tomato is a fruit.
Stand by your mango.
If you're Apple and you know it, clap your hands.
Perfect. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the slipperless foot of time stands on the upturned Lego brick of destiny and the Chilean Merlot of existence stains the newly cleaned Axminster of eternity, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the teams, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in St Albans, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Omid Jalili were being given silly things to do by Jack B, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.
And that was a BBC radio comedy production. And Jack D and the teams will be back at the same time next week.
Hello, people who listen to the radio.
Welcome to Arthur Smith's Roundtable.
BBC Radio 4 Extras Comedy Club.
The usual magical blend of radio comedy from last week to absolutely ages ago.
On the redoubtable Radio 4 Extra.
It's not Radio 3 because all of their presenters are orchestras.
Let's just all try and get along, all right?
Who is the most dangerous man on earth? Clue, it's Melvin Bragg.
Jolly joke junkie.
Strap in, guys. It's going to be a crazy night.
The Comedy Club, tonight from 10 on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Yay!
That was the Comedy Club. Stick a fork in it, it's done.
Well, here on BBC Radio 4, the composer Sir James McMillan discusses his Fourth Symphony, which premieres tonight at the Proms. Front row at 7:15.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. The government's to begin selling its stake in the Royal Bank of Scotland after advice from the body set up to manage its ownership of the banks that were bailed out during the financial crisis. UK Financial Investments said shares representing just over 5% of the bank would be offered to institutional investors. It's estimated that the stake will be sold at a loss. A former Citi trader has been jailed for 14 years after becoming the first person to be convicted of rigging the LIBOR interbank lending rate. Tom Hayes, who worked for the Swiss bank UBS and America's Citigroup, claimed that senior managers had known what he was doing. President Obama is about to announce an ambitious plan to tackle climate change. Under the Clean Power Plan, within the next 15 years, the US would reduce its carbon emissions by a third from 2005 levels. Opponents say the president has declared a war on coal. The plan is likely to be challenged in the courts. But Lord Prescott, the former Deputy Prime Minister who led the UK delegation at the Kyoto climate change talks, welcomes Mr. Obama's plan.
Countries like China and India, in their early stages of industrialisation, will still use some coal, but we need to help them develop solar and wind power. That's the way forward, and I'm glad America's on that track. But by the way, our own government at the moment is cutting most of the climate contributions and increasing carbon.
At least 25 people have been killed in Syria when a government warplane crashed into a crowded marketplace in a rebel-held town. President Assad's air force had earlier been bombing the town of Aria. Wiltshire Police is to be investigated about how it handled an allegation that the former Prime Minister, Sir Edward Heath, was involved in child sexual abuse. It's been claimed that a criminal prosecution against somebody in the 1990s was dropped when the individual made allegations against Sir Edward. The Sir Edward Heath Charitable Foundation said it was confident the former Prime Minister would be cleared of any wrongdoing. BBC News.
You probably know this image. It's